From KCRW, I'm Evan Kleiman, and you're listening to Good Food. What's purple, gold, and green all over? Here's a hint. It's sweet, filled with cream, and there's a tiny plastic baby hiding inside. I'm talking about king cake, of course, that seasonal expression of joy and creativity centered in the city of New Orleans. It's a tradition that crosses communities and cultures and is a unique expression of the city. Several years ago, writer Matthew Haynes set out to document these cakes in all their glorious variety, and he came away with a coffee table book of photographs and stories from all over the region. The big tradition deserves the big book of king cake. Hi, Matt.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I remember the first time I opened your book, and I was just blown away by the variety and just the joyfulness that are king cakes and how they express themselves in so many different ways. What made you decide to go on this quest?
Yeah, I mean, I had a very similar feeling to what you just described. In New Orleans, it's common to have what's called a king cake party. And the idea is that all the attendees will bring their favorite king cake. And there's a vote at the end to see who brought the best one. And it's kind of, you know, a point of pride to introduce others to hopefully their new favorite version. And so I didn't know what my favorite king cake was at the time. This is back in 2017. And so I Googled the best king cakes in New Orleans, and I found a top 10 list, and I put those in a spreadsheet, and I said, surely if I try these, the best one, that's what I'll bring. But then I found another list that was 15, and so I was like, okay, well, those 15 are different than those 10, so I guess I'll have to try 25. And by the time I kept adding to this spreadsheet I was compiling, I had more than 100 king cakes to try before the party, and I failed. I only ate 88 of them that year. But similar to you, I was really blown away by just the incredible variety in the way they looked, in the fillings that were being chosen, in what seemed to be important to the different bakers. I had just kind of wondered if somebody had ever written a book about this, and it turns out they hadn't. And so I got started.
What is the celebration that a king cake marks?
So it's typically during what we in Louisiana call carnival season. Which exists between January 6th, so that is the Epiphany, or the 12th night of Christmas, and kind of ramps up all the way through Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, and that changes, the day that Mardi Gras is changes based on the year and where Easter is, but this year it's February 21st. So it's, you know, several weeks of king cake eating, and if you try to eat king cake outside of season, you'll get it slapped out of your hand by by a traditionalist New Orleanian. We're pretty militant about only eating it during this one season.
And king cake is eaten in many places around the world where it takes on several different forms. But why did it find such a welcome home that became an explosion of variety in New Orleans?
In many of those other places that it's eaten, oftentimes around Europe, basically anywhere that because Rome, they were not eating king cake. This was pre-Christian Rome. They had what was called a Saturnalia cake in honor of their Saturnalia festival. And so as they spread out across Europe and became the Roman Empire, they brought that tradition, which is different in some ways than what we do today, but the idea of hiding something inside the cake and whoever finds that hidden something. In New Orleans, we have a little plastic baby. If you find that baby, you're crowned king or queen of the party, and you have to bring the next cake to the next party. That is a tradition that was even in existence to some degree back then in Rome and in all of these different places around Europe where the tradition still exists. The French and the Spanish were some of the earliest European immigrants to come to New Orleans, and so they brought that tradition over here. And it started off as a very humble affair. It would only be eaten on January 6th. And only kind of in the privacy of Creole homes, as they had like kind of a bigger than usual dinner on January 6th on the Epiphany. And it wasn't until years later that it started to get connected to the carnival season, because some of those parade crews would have their opening ball of the carnival season on January 6th. And that introduced a lot of people to king cake season. And then they said, well, this is really fun. You know, whoever gets the baby or whatever else is hidden inside the cake has to throw the next party. you know, instead of waiting a whole year, let's just have another party next week. And so when you're eating all of these king cakes for several weeks, what happened over the decades is that instead of just sticking with one kind, it became a lot more fun to try a bunch of different varieties. So if you're a chocolate shop in New Orleans now, you're making a chocolate king cake. If you're a Honduran bakery in New Orleans, you've got a guava cream cheese king cake. If you're the insectarium at the zoo in New Orleans, you've got a cricket king cake. And so there's really endless varieties.
We should say that the big book of king cake is also highly photographed. The photographs are just amazing. It's almost like looking at jewelry in some strange way. And despite the fact that there's an enormous amount of variety of shape, of size, three colors stand out as being sort of the major element of decoration, the colors purple, gold, and green. Where did they come from?
Well, there's a lot of debate about a lot of things related to king cake. Some people say it's in reference to because king cake is typically you would eat on the Epiphany, the 12th night of Christmas, which is when the three kings are said to have found the baby Jesus and presented their gifts. And so some people believe the three colors are meant to represent those three gifts. The reason that seems most common is that one of the early marching crews and one of the most popular still to this day is called Rex, you know, the crew of Rex. They happen to pick three colors for their emblem, purple, green, and gold. And in one of their parades in 1892, they explained what those three colors mean. And so the gold is meant to be wealth, and the purple is meant to be kind of kingly and ruling as a king. And then the green is meant to be pious and religious. But that's probably, you know, via the crew of Rex and the symbology of those colors, that's probably where that came from.
What I find so amazing about New Orleans food culture is that one of the reasons it's so vibrant is because it constantly evolves and embraces new people who come, who create their own communities. And the king cake illustrates this as well. Can you share some stories from more recently arrived communities, bakeries, people that you met who have bakeries that serve specific communities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think I should say that when I was setting out to make the big book of king cake, I thought I was creating a book about cake. And I think it would have been if that's what it was, it would have been a very beautiful book. But I pretty quickly, when doing interviews, realized that this is going to be so much more interesting if it's a book about the people behind those cakes, who are making those cakes, and really digging into to where the inspirations for their different varieties came from. And I think looking at the different groups, particularly new arrivals to New Orleans, and how that impacts king cake is really interesting. And so a real short one would be there's a Alon Shaya is a James Beard award-winning chef here in New Orleans. And he moved to New Orleans decades ago. He's from Israel originally. So he grew up eating a whole lot of babka. He said he really loved babka. When he moved to New Orleans, he fell in love with the traditions here. And so rather than just coming up with a regular old king cake, he decided to create this beautiful and delicious, rich babka king cake, like a chocolate babka king cake. It's so nice. Another one that I really love is, I had mentioned earlier, a Honduran grocery store. And New Orleans has a very big Honduran population. And the owners of the grocery store said that for, you know, decades, they were just kind of serving other Hondurans. But like as their kids started to go to school, they were being introduced to the king cake tradition all around them. There was kind of no avoiding it. Every Friday at schools in Louisiana, there's going to be a king cake there. And whatever child gets the baby and the king cake has to bring the next one. And so, okay, so now there's no avoiding it. King cakes are going to be a part of everyone here's life if you've got kids. And so that grocery store said that they wanted to come up with a king cake that their community could feel really proud of. And so they love the taste of guava and cream cheese. It's really common in pastries for Hondurans. And so they decided to make the first ever guava cream cheese king cake. And they said for a couple of years, you know, the only people who were eating it were the Hondurans. But, you know, word started to spread. And one day they opened the door and there was a line wrapped around the storefront. And they said that it was the first time they really felt New Orleanian. And they felt really proud because this thing that they had created, New Orleanians that had been here for a long time held it in high enough regard that it was worth standing in line to get. And it felt like they had added something to this tradition that dated back thousands of years earlier.
That's so wonderful. And what about the Vietnamese community? There must be several.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's quite a few Vietnamese bakeries here. The most famous one and probably the most popular king cake in New Orleans right now is from a place called Dong Phang Bakery. And they're a James Beard Award winner. They ship their king cakes. Basically, their king cakes, they ship thousands of them, and they sell out within hours of opening up the shipping window. The Tran family owns Dong Phang. They were living in South Vietnam during the Vietnam War. Ms. Tran's husband was a fighter pilot who was captured and imprisoned, and he managed to escape at the end of the war, and the family fled. They were on a ship headed to Myanmar, where pirates took over the ship and stole everything they had, and they were stuck there, but were able to get sponsorship over to New Orleans because there was a growing community of Vietnamese refugees in kind of the outskirts of New Orleans. And so they were able to make their way over here in the 1970s, but they had nothing left except for each other. And so to make a little bit of money, she learned to be a seamstress, and that made a little bit of money, but not much. And so she said she started to bake for this growing Vietnamese community, and that started to make a little bit more money, so much so that she decided to open up a bakery in the 1980s. But again, no reason to have king cake. That wasn't part of their tradition at all. But when they had grandkids and they wanted to bring a king cake that wasn't just from a gas station or a grocery store. And so Ms. Tran said, well, maybe Dong Phang should make a king cake that kind of suits the Vietnamese taste. And so rather than doing kind of like a sweeter sugar icing that's more common, she went for a more savory cream cheese topping. And Dong Phang king cake is really well known for its unique shape. It's more of a horseshoe, and there are these interesting kind of like ridges along the outside that are kind of slices. And she said that that came about not by accident, but because as a seamstress, she learned that to help bend fabric, you cut little slices into it. And so to make the dough bend, she did the same thing. She cut these slices. And I think that when you look at the 75 different vignettes of the different bakeries in the Big Book of King Cake, what I like about it is it feels like it tells the whole story of what New Orleans is like now, including the people who have been here for centuries, as well as the people who have been here more recently.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really glad that you found the time to be with us today. It is an absolutely fabulous book.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on.
That was Matt Haynes. You'll rarely find a book documenting a joyous tradition so thoroughly and beautifully as the Big Book of King Cake. If you want to try making your own king cake this weekend, we've got a recipe for you. Check it out at kcrw.com/goodfood. And for the next generation of king cake lovers, I want to give a shout out to Matt's companion book. It's an illustrated children's book called What Else? The Little Book of King Cake. Coming up, the author of Eating While Black has three words of advice for us when it comes to policing what other people eat. She shares them with us next.